Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Wisconsin-born artist Raphael Salas grew up on a farm, and those rural landscapes still find their way into his paintings and installations. But so does a lot more, as he explores many genres of art with his students at Ripon College and in his own studio.
He describes his current projects as depicting, quote, natural occurrences as well as man-made events and architecture which complement and conflict, unquote. It's work that is currently on view at Latino Arts on the near south side, and while he was still installing that show, Salas stopped by to talk about what he does. Raphael, it is such a pleasure to have you in the studio and meet you finally. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, very good. Thanks so much. Nice to meet you as well.
Well, you have an exhibition that's about to open, or by the time this airs, it will have opened at Latino Arts at the United Community Center. But I want to back up a little bit and talk about how you got into art in the first place. I mean, you grew up here in Wisconsin. Was it something that was part of your family? Was this something different? How did it all happen for you?
Yeah, I do have a couple creative people in my family, my aunts and uncles. But really, my nuclear family is not artistic so much. We grew up on a farm near Wild Rose, Wisconsin, very small town. But I was never really born to be a farmer, which my mother reminds me of often. But I think I was kind of creative and interested in visual art at really an early age, and was always supported by my family, which was lucky, I think.
Were you one of those kids that was always drawing things
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Getting paints into things mm-hmm. and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But always supported in that. But I never really studied it. I never went to an art museum, and it was the Milwaukee Art Museum was the first museum I went to. But not until I was, you know, in high school, like 16 years old. So that it came, those interests specifically came a bit later. But I really always did kind of pick away at making things and was always thinking about things on the farm and around that other people weren't maybe thinking about. So I was a little lost in myself, I guess.
When you first went to the museum, was there a particular artist or painting that drew you? You thought, wait a minute, that's interesting.
Wow, you know, that's a really good question. There were a couple pieces that I wouldn't be able to recall what the artworks were at this point. It was my grandmother who took me. It was a really great day. But she did show me the Dwayne Hansen sculpture of the janitor, which was made a real impression on me. For its kind of verisimilitude and real, you know, the realness of that sculpture. And I think I also remember the Zurbaran painting of the Franciscan monk, which is, you know, a real impressive painting to a young person. Yeah, those first times you see a painting, you see its sort of mechanics, right? You see it, the actual hand on it. And I think that's a real kind of powerful thing, too, that you never see in reproduction.
Yeah, there is that actual, there was a person who made this
mm-hmm.
and who had a point of view and who had something that he or she wanted to transmit to the rest of us. When did that idea first start happening for you where you thought, you know, I've got things to say and this is how I want to say them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. But, you know, I think people are creative that way in a kind of pervasive way. You know, like when you reach adolescence, when you sort of move into towards adulthood, I think people of that age all have something to say. And I think everyone has creative outlets or desire for that. So I don't think I was singular in that way, except that I kind of demanded that it happen, perhaps. So I went to high school in another small town in Wisconsin, and I did have a group of friends who, you know, were interested in the arts, theater, visual art, and so forth. And, you know, I think that we kind of bounced around together, and that was really helpful to all of us, you know, in sort of finding outlets that way. But being a teacher, you know, and seeing young people in my classes, I think that everyone really has that desire. Yeah, it's just a question of sort of plugging it in.
Well, and also deciding, you know, this is how I'm going to make my living. This is what I'm going to do. This is my passion, which is this society doesn't really encourage very much.
Yeah, and that became a little bit easier for me maybe than some. I wasn't really very good at anything else. So I did, you know, I really had the best of intentions. I did go to college. I studied art, but I also studied education, and I had every intention to sort of go into the classroom and kind of, you know, try to contribute in that way. And I did teach in the public schools in Minneapolis for a year, and it really just didn't take. I wasn't in the studio enough, and I didn't quite have that alpha gaze, I think, that teachers in the public schools need to kind of keep the crowds, you know, at bay. So I left education for a while and through my 20s just tried to find different ways to make art. It really became a compulsion. And nothing else really stuck. So it just kept becoming more important to me and more a part of a practice that I needed to follow up on.
Well, and it sounds like you found a good mix by having your studio practice, but also being able to teach just at a different level and in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't go back to school to get my graduate degree for maybe 7 years after I was in college. So it took a while, but eventually it seemed to be a great way to move forward and to be able to practice art, talk about it all the time, and, you know, work with other people who are interested in it. And it has turned out to be a really impactful, really powerful, and really rewarding experience to teach.
How does that teaching feedback into your own practice?
Boy, I was just talking about this with another teacher recently. I think it's made my artwork a bit, I don't know if this is maybe a negative term, but maybe a little bit schizophrenic. You know, I will move into working three-dimensionally, and then I'll move back into painting, and then I might start making installations or working abstractly. And I think that comes directly because I try to, with my students, find their best interests, right? So if a student is guided sort of towards abstraction, I will help them kind of find artists and outlets that work for them. But then along the way, I get kind of interested, you know? So maybe the negative response would be that my work sort of changes a lot, and some might view that as sort of schizophrenic. But in a positive way, it means that I guess I'm always looking forward, you know, and finding new things. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're incorporating everything in your life
into
the art, which kind of has to happen, I think.
Yeah, yeah, kind of everything ends up back in the studio somehow.
Somehow, yeah. Yeah, so describe for me a perfect day for you. If you had to lay out the perfect day between teaching and art and all of that, what would it look like?
Well, I do enjoy teaching. You know, work is always called work for a reason, though, right? It's really demanding. But if I were teaching as a component of a day and then in the studio for another component, you know, some sort of balance like that, I think would be a really perfect day. I mean, artists, I think, in general often are kind of in their own minds. And so being in the studio kind of by myself with a challenge at hand is really one of the most interesting things that I do, you know. But then being able to communicate it to students who have, you know, a passion for that is really a part of that process as well.
Well, it kind of pulls you out of that insular
way.
Yeah.
And actually, honestly, being able to, requiring yourself to communicate your ideas to somebody who wants to pick up on it is really an interesting challenge. It's hard to do, you know. I have these ideas. This is what I'm trying to communicate. And being able to get that across to a student or a colleague is not always that easy, because visual art is not really about words. In fact, it's at some level, it's antithesis, right?
You know, right.
I'm making an image that is something entirely different than language, right? Or a different language.
But you have to, and all artists have to come up with artist statements, and they have to talk about, you're right, they have to talk about their art in public for people who might not have seen it yet.
Yeah. And for artists, and certainly for me, I mean, I can talk about others' artwork much better than my own. And a lot of people would probably agree with that as well, a lot of artists, right?
So now that you have kind of this balance in your life, and the art is happening, the teaching is happening, and you have this wonderful exhibit that's opening up at the UCC. So talk about that. What is it like to bring your art into a place like the UCC?
For me, it's really important to have exhibits to be able to bring my artwork to the public and to have other people see it. I think that sort of completes a process of me trying to make something that's interesting and has a certain amount of craft and has a certain amount of visual communication, and having the public or the community be able to have an opportunity to see it is something that I'm always looking for. And so this exhibit at the Latino Arts Gallery is something I've been really excited to prepare for and be able to share, with the community in Milwaukee and in Walker's Point.
Do you think that some of the young students there who are at the Bruce Guadalupe School and others, predominantly Hispanic populations around, do you feel a responsibility to them to say, hey, look, you know, we can do this too?
Yeah, that's, you know, Bonnie, that's a really That's an interesting question, because I think connecting with, you know, my Mexican-American heritage is it's kind of a can of worms. So I'm going to talk about it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It might take
Please
a couple
do.
Minutes.
Please do.
I exhibit at the Portrait Society Gallery as well. Deb Bremer is the owner of that. And I had an exhibit at that gallery and in Walker's Point last year in 2015 called Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. And I, in the past, haven't really approached my artwork through the lens of cultural identity. Well, for a couple of reasons. Because at some level, I grew up, you know, in a small town in Wisconsin, mostly with white kids. And that community considered me Mexican, right? But I don't speak Spanish. And when I sort of approach Mexican-American communities, the fact that I grew up with white kids doesn't sort of allow me inroads into that community either. So I kind of, I feel like as an artist, I kind of float above both of those communities. And Deb, when I was preparing for this exhibit, for this last exhibit before the Latino Arts exhibit right now, she said, you know, you should take on cultural identity. And I said, Deb, you know, I don't want to. And I don't think I should have to, because Caucasian artists, white artists get to talk about whatever they want, you know, and as a Mexican-American artist, why do I have to talk about that, you know? So I was a little prickly about it, but she's courageous. She runs a great gallery, and she sort of knew which buttons to push. And she said, you know, I think you should go for it. And I was really glad she did, because I kind of unwrapped that, the onion skin of that topic for a while, and it has brought me a better reflection of myself, I guess, and a better reflection of why I'm making the artwork that I am. And so, in a long-winded sense, to answer your question, I'm very proud and very happy to bring my artwork to these communities. But I honestly, I often feel like I'm maybe an outlier in both, so I'm never quite sure how I can best communicate, you know? So maybe I can only answer your question with, I hope so. I hope I can communicate to those kids, or I hope I can communicate my ideas to Latino communities as well as the white community, but I'm not sure if I do it well, or if I'm not sure if I do it correctly. I think I've been battling that for my entire life.
I don't know that there's a correct.
Yeah,
I don't know that
yeah.
there's a right answer. It is interesting, because anyone who isn't part of whatever the norm of the culture is always this plus.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a female art, a woman Ooh. Artist, Ooh. A Mexican artist, rather than just an artist.
Or even an artist at all. I mean, I think artists in general kind of have a creative remove sometimes from the culture at large, but maybe that's just being...
I think you are. Yeah. I think you're right, because you almost have to be able to comment on what you're seeing.
Yeah, perhaps.
You almost have to be somewhat on the periphery.
Mm.
But I find it interesting. It's like what you said. It's like, why do I have to do this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone defines me that way. Why do I have to do that? And I think that's a really interesting question, because why should you?
Yeah.
If that's not what you want to do.
Yeah. And it's certainly hard enough to find the right image, the right message, right? I don't think that for myself as an artist that my content or my inspirations or what I choose to make, they're not set in stone. You know, it's enough of a struggle to get an artwork off the ground and to get it built and to get it to communicate what I want. So if I put it in a framework and say I'm going to fit it into cultural identity, or I'm going to fit it into a certain sort of political viewpoint, it seems like it adds a complication that I don't even know if I could take on. You know, it's sort of hard enough to pull out what I need for, even from the well that I have.
Right. And just to make a piece of art that you're proud of and you feel like says something.
Yeah.
So once this show is up, what is next for you? Do you have exhibitions at Deb's, or, you know, are other things happening?
I do continue to work with Deb. I don't have an exhibit scheduled with her yet, but I do have a solo exhibit in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin at the Thelma Sadoff Center for the Arts, which is going to be in January. So I'm going to be split with two shows, which is a blessing and a curse, to get them both mounted very quickly. And at that exhibit, I will also be showcasing in a different gallery in that space, some of my students' artwork too. So we're going to be showing together, which will be really cool.
Is that a first time to do that with your
students?
Yeah,
never tried that before. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that must be exciting.
Really cool. I've been working with a few alums from Ripon College as well as current seniors. And I asked them to kind of submit their artwork to a third party that then kind of juried the show and to kind of give them a kind of professional art experience, and then I'll have my exhibit on a different floor. It'll be really cool. We'll all be there for the opening, and it should be a blast.
Well, Rafael, I want to thank you for taking time. I know you're in the process of like getting ready to open the show today, but I just can't thank you enough for coming in and having a conversation with me.
I really appreciate it, Bonnie, and thanks so much for sharing with me today.
Rafael Salas is a Wisconsin-born artist who currently serves as an associate professor at Ripon College. The exhibit of his work called Pastoral Testimony is on view through late February at Latino Arts. You can see some of his artwork at WUWM.com.